I'm David Delegator. There's an exhibit that's coming to the library about a tradition in Cincinnati of underground or alternative newspapers, and it's been 50 years since the Independent Eye was around. Mark Neely, our guest today, has curated a show at the public library that's going to go on. Mark, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, what was the start of the Independent Eye? What gave it its impetus? How did it begin?
It actually began in Yellow Springs before it moved to Cincinnati a couple months prior. Essentially, it started as a war resistance paper to Vietnam, and it was founded by a couple who were Antioch students in Yellow Springs. Primarily, the early editions focused on Vietnam, the draft, and resistance to the war. The paper then moved to Cincinnati a couple months later. Another couple got involved, and some staff, more staff members, started getting added, artists, photographers. And after it moved to Cincinnati and time went on, it started factoring into other sectors, a lot of that new left political movement, as it's been coined. It started reporting on a lot of injustice with law enforcement. It highlighted what were seen as pretty radical groups, socialist movements, the Black Panthers, things like that. Obviously, the civil rights movement, the women's liberation movement. And this was also the counterculture movement in the late 60s and early 70s. So you had all of the music that was going on around the city and things of that nature. So it was published from 1968 through 1975.
Well, and the times were ripe for that kind of news. I mean, it was nothing that the Enquirer was glad to cover or had a perspective on it that people in the city that were into alternative politics and justice really cared about. What was the size of the staff?
It varied over time. Traditionally, they would publish a little tiny paragraph in the early days of the staff members. And I would say at any given time, there were about a dozen or so. And that could be everything from the writers to the artists and photographers, copy editors, people who just volunteered their time working at the typewriter, helping lay out the paper and things like that. They were obviously using pretty primitive resources at that time with a very limited budget. So it was a small staff that was constantly rotating.
Well, how did it sustain itself economically?
Well, that's a good question because it is a little amazing that it had the longevity that it did. When you look at a lot of these underground papers that were published around the country, a lot of them only lasted a couple of years. So the Independent Eye was unique in that regard. It had a pretty long run. I think from what I've understood talking to staff members, it was primarily simply through the street sales of the paper. As time went on, the Eye did start being sold in local record stores, bookstores, things like that. But in the early days, it was primarily simply through street hawkers selling copies out on the street. They only really paid a couple of the core staff members. So it was a lot of volunteers. And then, of course, the salesmen out on the street did get a percentage as well.
Were there any articles that come to your mind over that course of time that really made a bang, really made an impact in the city here?
Yeah, I think there's a few that come to mind. There was an incident, and I forget the exact year here, I believe it was 69 or 70, where there was a peaceful protest down at Fountain Square, and the American flag on Fountain Square was actually supplanted with a Viet Cong symbol flag at the time of the war. I'm using the terms they used in the paper at that time, and that was pretty interesting. There was also a lot of local stories that veered into the national level. For example, when I first looked at the archive, one of the first covers I saw was an advertisement for the International Women's March here in 1971. I was with my wife at the time. We looked at that, and we immediately made that connection to today's socio-political climate, and all around the country, the International Women's March from a few years ago, including here in Cincinnati, was statistically the largest peaceful protest in the world. So those are two that come to mind, but there's so many to choose from.
Did the Independent Eye get any coverage from the local newspapers, the dailies?
The short answer is no. There were a few mentions from one particular columnist. I will just say there was a rather prominent conservative commentator in the Cincinnati Inquirer who sometimes was mocked in a reoccurring satirical column in the Independent Eye, and that writer did respond to the Independent Eye a few times. But I've looked through the archives of our mainstream papers here. There were a couple articles in the late 60s talking about it, but by and large, it was ignored and kind of just seen as something that maybe a few hippies read, but they weren't really concerned with it. Of course, I would argue that was wrong because it actually was very influential, and I don't think they understood how large the readership was.
And was there advertising, print advertising in the paper?
There was some. Nothing like a normal paper, obviously. It was primarily ads for local concert venues like the Ludlow Garage or the Black Dome, local coffee shops, a lot of various boutiques, fashion shops around Calhoun Street and Mount Adams, and a lot of places where that movement was kind of happening here. And believe it or not, into the 70s, there would occasionally be some ads by national record labels like Capitol who would advertise their new albums in the paper. So it was pretty minimal, but the local ones were there.
By 75, the energy had dissipated and the paper disappeared, right?
More or less, yeah. I think there was a lot of staff turnovers with the paper. As you can imagine, a lot of staff members might have been in the area going to UC or a local college, and they moved away right after graduating. And so by the mid-70s, basically none of the original staff was left. New editors, a whole turnover, and the number of papers distributed was really running low by that point. I never got a concrete answer as to why it officially halted production, but I believe what you said, that the times obviously changed by the mid-70s, and it finally came to an end.
Let's talk about the exhibit at the library.
On November 13th, it's a Wednesday at 7 p.m., we are going to have a panel discussion. It will include myself talking about how the whole project came about, Ellen Bierhorst, who was one of the original publishers of the paper, who was really a tremendous help to me. I was able to meet with her for several hours. She really got the ball rolling on the project. And then Jim Tarbell, who, although he wasn't directly involved in the paper, he had started the influential Ludlow Garage. And so his name is all over the paper. And he was someone that the library got me in touch with. And he, in turn, got me in touch with Ellen, so the whole project wouldn't have happened if not for him. We are also going to have a display down at the main library with all sorts of original papers on display so that you can take a look at them. I also have some really rare items I'm excited to showcase. Some of the photographers from the Eye, one of which, Ken Hawkins, he now lives out in Washington. He mailed me some very special large print photographs he took, so we'll have those on display. Really remarkable. For example, when he went and shot the Peace March on Washington, and pictures of when the infamous Jerry Rubin held some rallies here in Cincinnati, and things like that. So again, that's on November 13th at 7 p.m., The panel discussion will be about an hour, and then the exhibit with all the materials, that will be on display about a month.
Well, it's fascinating, and it captures a time in the city's history that many people lived through and are going to want to recapture, I'm sure. It sounds like an absolutely great exhibit, and I, for one, am looking forward to it. And Mark Neely, thanks for being with us today to talk about the Independent Eye and the upcoming show at the library. I'm glad you could make it.
Thank you, David.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegater.